Okay, who's got the first question and who's got the first answer? You can only ask a question if you have the answer. Okay.
We talked about earlier about the word coin and cold by the Gospels. Now, those people cold, are those people that believe already, or everybody's cold?
Everybody's called.
Everybody's called.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you say the door's cold, they already say.
What was that?
It seems to some, I can't remember, in some verses, those called are already saved.
Well, in Romans 8, it says, look over to Romans 8 real quick. Thank you.
Because those are called an answer, they're saved.
Yeah. The gospel is for everyone, and as a saved person, you were called and you responded. Over in Romans 8, it says, this perhaps is the one you're thinking about, I don't know for sure. Verse 29, it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called." That's probably what you're thinking of, right? The question is, basically, when Paul talks about he called you by our gospel, does God only call certain people? Is that the question? Is everybody called, or is the called a reference only to saved people? The gospel is an invitation to everybody, every man. And the fact is that you are called. So when you trust Christ, there's nothing wrong with Paul saying you're called by the gospel. But it is an invitation to every man. There certainly are those that teach that the gospel is not an invitation to every man, and that the offer is a limited offer. but, you know, when you see the Apostle Paul preaching what he preached, he believed Christ gave himself a ransom for all. And that his gospel truly was an every man message.
Yeah. Okay. I can't change the word, God. If he had said, "Those that answer the call."
Yeah. He doesn't say it that way, but he does say it in that the way that you answer the call is you trust the blood of Christ. Yeah. In whom also you believed. That's how you answer the call. Okay. Don't get too comfortable over there, okay? Okay, yes, you had a question in the back. Now, you had, a follow-up question. Okay, and then you had a comment or a question, Mitch. And then Linda's got a question as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to... I mean, you did that with these last few verses about trying to understand what it meant to bless Israel. When it says, you know, we were supposed to... You know, Gentiles were supposed to bless Israel.
Yeah.
I was trying to understand...
What would a Gentile do, in other words, to bless Israel? I'm going to count the passage over here real quick in the Old Testament. I'll show you what it means. What's that? Yeah, we'll look at that. But there's one over here with Abimelech and so forth back in the Old Testament. Look over to Genesis 21. This is just one example here. Abimelech's a Gentile. Genesis 21, verse 22. And he says this, "It came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Pichol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying," what? See? That is a public acknowledgement by this Gentile ruler here that the God of the earth is with Abraham. And that if he expected to be blessed by the God of Abraham, then he had to recognize that. So what he does, you read the context here, and instead of allowing his men to continue to fight with Abraham's men and so forth over water and this and that, he submits himself to Abraham and says, God, you know, basically, God's with you. And Abraham, I might not like you, but you know what? God's with you. So if I'm concerned about my relationship with God, I better be concerned about my relationship with you. And that's what it would mean, is that they'd have to basically take care of him. All right. There's another one. Look over to Genesis 26. A similar thing happens. Genesis 26, verse 26. There's a whole context around this. You can see the interaction between Abraham and Abimelech and then Isaac and Jacob and some of the others. Watch this. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahazath, one of his friends, and Pichol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, so Isaac is now, the covenant's been passed on from Abraham to Isaac now, right? And Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye to meet me, seeing ye hate me and have sent me away from you? There was obviously a discord between them. But watch what happens. And they said, these are the Abimelech and his Gentile guys with him. They said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Look at the next statement. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. These guys saw now that Abraham's dead now. These guys make a public acknowledgement that, you know, that covenant now is passed on to Isaac. We better take care of Isaac. They put right there, thou art now the blessed of the Lord. See that? If you ever get the idea that, well, Gentiles back then didn't know, how'd these guys know? There was public knowledge that there was a way for Gentiles to be blessed back then. Okay? Okay, somebody else, I think Linda had a question or a comment.
Yeah.
In thee shall all nations be blessed. The wording is right in the verse. Saying, quote, in thee shall all nations be blessed.
So that's another gospel.
That is the gospel in Abraham's day.
Okay.
Yeah. See that? Isn't that interesting?
Another question is, Paul quotes...
I'll answer it out of Romans... What's that? Oh, okay. The question is that Paul mentions God is not a respecter of persons, and it's also in the Old Testament that God is not a respecter of persons. So how does that come into play, or does it come into play, with fundamentally the unique ministry of the gospel grace of God today? Is that kind of the question? Okay. Look over to Romans 10. It's right here. The context of Romans 10, the context of Romans 9, 10, 11, Paul is dealing with, of course, the question, what about Israel? That's the context here. The context of Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, is that same issue. What about Israel? How can they get saved, etc., things like that. He makes a statement here at verse 11. It says, Romans 10, 11, he says, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's how God is no respecter of persons. In any dispensation, if you called upon the name of the Lord, God would save you. But what was the difference between how a Gentile back there in time past, quote-unquote, called on the name of the Lord, compared to how a Gentile now calls on the name of the Lord? Let me say it this way. Let's say a Gentile came up to Abraham back there and said, listen, Abraham, I know that you claim that God spoke to you, but I've got every right to go directly to God and call directly on God myself. So I don't have to go to you. I don't have to bless you. Is God going to... Okay. So when whether it's the Old Testament saying or the New Testament or Paul saying God is no respecter of persons, God will save anyone who believes what He says in any dispensation. And you see the principle right there. The principle is that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But the way that they call upon the Lord, you know, is different because God's message to the Gentiles is different. Okay? Any questions on that? I see some puzzled looks out there. Back here in the Old Testament, see that Gentile and that Jew, they weren't told back here to trust the blood of Christ alone for their salvation. They weren't told that back there. So the way they called on the name of the Lord back there is different, even in Romans 10, how Paul's telling Israel, in the context of Romans 10, is to the Jew, even what he's telling them, how them to call on the name of the Lord. They could be over here in that transition period, and they could be saying to Paul, hey, Paul, I can call on the name of the Lord, but I don't believe Jesus is the Messiah. I can still call on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and He'll save me. Is that true? See, God would not save them. See that? Because they were not calling on the name of the Lord if they didn't believe what the Lord said. Go ahead.
So are you saying that the respecter of persons issue only applies to justification?
In any dispensation, it applies to anybody that takes God at His word. No. In any dispensation, the way that God is no respecter of person is that in any dispensation, anybody who believes God's word, what He says, God will honor their belief in His word. Because He says He would. God's true to His word when they believe His word. Okay. Does that clarify that? Or it certainly includes justification. What's that? Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, it just looks like you have a follow-up question or thought. Yeah, anyone in any dispensation that believes whatever God's word to them is at that time, you know, God's going to honor that because He's true to His word. So it certainly would include their justification. And then similar, like we read, looked at Abimelech back then, is when Abimelech had acknowledged that Abraham, that was, you know, the God of the earth was the God of Abraham, well, next, he acknowledged that Isaac was now the blessed of the Lord. So there's a guy who's talking about the sanctification process. You know? Okay. Yes, sir.
What is Paul referring to in Ephesians 2:12 where he says, we are without God, without hope?
That's a great question. Go with me, if you would, to Ephesians 2:12. And look at that verse. Ephesians 2:12, it says this, that at that time, I need to go back to verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So if I'm understanding, the question basically is this. If there was a way for these Gentiles in time past to be saved, then who is that in that verse, right? Is that kind of the question? Why would Paul say that we're without hope and without God in the world? So who would that be? Those that didn't bless Israel. Those that told Abraham to go jump in the lake. Those that said to Isaac, I don't care who you are. See that? These are the Gentiles that didn't believe. Okay? And these, when Paul says he was sent to the heathen, that's who we were. Okay, the heathen were not the guys that were fearing God back here. They were just doing their own thing. And Linda, I think you have a question, it looks like, as well. But let me have you look at a passage of Scripture, if you would, over in the book of Acts. And then I'll get your question here. Look over, if you would, to Acts 10. Acts 10, verse 1. What's this? It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. A devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Okay, what do you know about this guy? Okay, he's devout. He says, okay, he's a devout man. He feared God with all his house, and he gave much alms to the people. What people?
Israel.
That's Israel right there. So what's this Gentile doing? He's blessing Israel. You see that in the verse? Here's a Gentile who is blessing Israel. Why is he doing that? Because he believes the Abrahamic covenant. He believes that Israel's God is the right God. And God said, whoever blesses you, I will bless. That's what this guy's doing. This is a Gentile who is blessing Israel. See that? Well, let's see what Peter says in this same chapter a little bit later. Look at Acts 10:34. 10:34, it says, then Peter opened his mouth. Now, he's speaking to all these Gentiles in the house. Okay? It says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God, there's the phrase again, is no respecter of persons. The very question that was asked a little bit earlier. Now, watch verse 35. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Does that verse ever cause you problems? You ever had somebody come knocking on your door and say, see, you can be saved if you'll just fear God and work righteousness? Because the verse says, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. So, some will go so far as to say, well, that actually means, therefore, that you actually don't have to believe the blood of Christ to get saved. As long as you fear God and work righteousness. God knows your heart. He's no respecter of persons, so he'll save you because he knows your heart, type thing. What do you say to that?
I mean, righteous works.
Yeah, watch this. Hold that verse there. And remember, there's a context around that, right? Peter said that to Gentiles who did what? They feared God. Their whole household, they gave much alms to the people. He said that in the context of Gentiles who believed the Abrahamic covenant. And the evidence of them believing the Abrahamic covenant is they blessed Israel. They gave much alms to the people. That's the context in which he says that there. Peter is not saying this in the context of just any old heathen Gentile out there. Okay? But compare that with what your apostle says over in Titus chapter 3 here. Titus chapter number 3. Okay, watch this now. I'm going to start at verse 3. Tell you what, let me start at verse 1. Titus 3:1. It says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities, powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also war sometimes. And then look at the list here. Foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. Okay. When verse 3 says, we ourselves also were sometimes, and it lists those things, is there any indication in verse 3 that he's talking to people like Cornelius? Understand my question? Is there any indication in verse 3 that Paul is describing people and talking about people like Cornelius? One that feared God with his household, prayed to God, and gave much alms to the people, implying that they believed the Abrahamic covenant. Is there any indication in that verse? No way at all. Paul's talking about just an old bunch of heathen that could care less about God. See that? So now watch what happens. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He's talking about ushering in of a brand new dispensation right there. I can't figure out a way to make what Peter said in Acts 10, verse 35, him that feareth God and works righteousness is accepted. I have never been able to figure out a way to make that be the same message as Paul saying to a bunch of Gentiles who couldn't care less about God, and Paul saying, not by works of righteousness. I don't know how to make those things say the same thing. I know how people try to make them say the same thing, but in my mind, I haven't been able to do that. Those are two different messages. So when Peter said back there in Acts 10, Peter says the same thing that Genesis 12 said. It says, any man that fears God and works righteousness, the way that a Gentile in time past would demonstrate that they feared God and worked righteousness, that they would go acknowledge that Abraham, that the God of Abraham was the true and living God. So Gentiles back here in time past, the way that they were blessed is they had to go bless Israel. But what was the hope of Gentiles who didn't do any of that stuff? None. They were without God, without hope in the world. That's who Paul is sent to. Paul is sent right from the beginning of his ministry. Look with me, if you would, over to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter number 1. Get two passages. There seems to be a great deal of misunderstanding in some of the grace circles about Paul's Gentile ministry. And I don't know. It seems to just put confusion out there instead of shedding light on what's going on. But watch this. In Acts 26 and Galatians 1, Acts 26, Paul is telling about his conversion and what Christ said to him at that time. So Christ says to Paul at Acts 26:15. And I said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now Christ says this, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom, what's the next word there? Unto whom now I send thee. Was Paul sent to the Gentiles right from the beginning of his ministry? Yes or no? Let me ask it again. Was Paul sent to the Gentiles right from the beginning of the ministry? Yes or no? What's the verse say? Look at the verse. Unto now I send thee. So was Paul sent to the Gentiles from the beginning of his ministry? I'm not sure why in the world you said no. Okay. Absolutely. That verse clearly says, unto whom now I send thee. Right from his conversion, it was clear that part of his commission was, I'm sending you to the Gentiles now. Okay. Delivering thee from the people, that's the people of Israel, and from the Gentiles. The idea of deliverance in the sense of they're not going to have dominance over you, kill you, that type of thing. I'm delivering you from them. I'm setting you free from them to send you out with the message of freedom to them. Okay. But you want to see that right from the beginning of Paul's ministry, he clearly is told, to whom now I send thee. Sometimes people seem to have the idea that Paul really doesn't have a Gentile ministry until Acts 28. You know, how then do you have the Apostle Paul saying in Romans that he writes in Acts 20 that he's the Apostle of the Gentiles if he doesn't have a ministry to Gentiles until Acts 28? And I'm talking about godless Gentiles. I understand the book of Acts, Paul often, the book of Acts does talk about Gentiles that feared God. We just read one in Acts 10. But I thought Peter went to that guy, you know, with the message about how Gentiles are blessed at that time. Anyway, so if you'll look at Galatians 1 now, look at Galatians 1, watch this. Paul is going to give again some details about his conversion. Galatians 1, and start with me at verse 13. He says, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Okay, so there's his past, right, before he got saved. So watch verse 15. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Okay, would it be fair to say that verse 15 is his conversion? Would that be fair to say that? Okay, so verse 15 is his conversion. And then it says, so I'm going to read verse 15 and I'm going to continue into verse 16. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to do something to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among who? Among who? The heathen. Those are the ones that were without hope, without God in the world. That's who Paul was sent to right from the start of his ministry. If Paul says in Acts 26, when he's given the account of what Christ said to him, and Christ said, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles unto whom now I send you, and then when he tells about it in Galatians chapter number 1, he calls them the heathen. Paul was sent to the heathen right from the beginning of his ministry. I know there's a concept out there that has Paul, that the pre-prison epistles of Paul, that Paul is preaching a different gospel to Gentiles compared to his later ministry, the prison ministry, that Paul doesn't preach the gospel of the grace of God until Acts 28, some strange concept like that. I'll tell you right now, I don't believe that. I don't. I have heard it it was taught by a guy down in Florida years and years and years ago and so forth, in different shades of it. And it's really kind of cropping back up and everything, gaining popularity. But I don't believe that. Those verses right there, it clearly says that Paul sent Gentiles right from the start, and he calls them the heathen. And the heathen were not the Gentiles that were blessing God, blessing Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and so forth. All right. Somebody else had a question. Yes, go ahead. Yes, with this clarification, that's exactly right. The message through the Old Testament up until the start of the dispensation of grace is different, and then you've got that the message of the body of Christ now until the rapture, and then it goes back to the previous message. So that's just a little point of clarification on that. Okay, so it reverts back to the completion of that program, because that program has got to be complete as well. Okay? Somebody in the Tom, you had a question or a comment?
Yeah, the heathen, wouldn't
that
be unbelieving Jews also?
It absolutely was. Yes. That's exactly right. Galatians 2. Paul there says, Peter gives them the right hands of fellowship, that they should go to the circumcision and Paul to the heathen. So it absolutely included the unbelieving Israelites at that point. Yeah. Yeah, they are not all Israel, which are out of Israel. Yes, yeah, okay. Tell you what, it's about 9:35 right now. We maybe have time for one more question, and I wish we could stay here all night because it's really, question and answer really is a good time. Anybody, one more question, or are we ready to go for the evening? Okay, we'll be dismissed. If you can stick around and help us put tables and chairs up, we sure appreciate it.